Hello, it's me again. Welcome to the Last Show Podcast. I am the host of the show. My name is Courtney Shane Williams, and I am a stand-up comedian based out of Tampa, Florida. You can catch this podcast every week. This is how it gets down, sometimes two times a week. It depends if I'm feeling freaking. You can also subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, TuneIn Radio. My website, CourtneyShaneWilliams.com. That's KORTNEY ShaneWilliams.com. Get a backlog of the episodes. This right here is episode 316, man. I don't know. When I say 316, for some reason, I started thinking about Stone Cold. Is that what he used to do? Austin 3? Supposed to be like John 316? Man, what blasphemy that was. I was an oblivious 9-year-old that didn't care about anything but, you know, putting people in the Stone Cold Stunner. And that was the phase of life I was in. I was in the brutality against any people phase of my life. Stone Cold was doing that as a grown man. A wrestler, by the way, that takes a special kind of crazy to do a highly choreographed sports where you know you're going to break a hip. You know, like imagine how many people would line up and play football if they knew on 3rd and 20 they were taking a chair shot to the head. I just don't think it'd be a long line of people. All of them would look like Stone Cold. You know what I mean? The football players would go out there with jean shorts on and wraps around their elbows and nothing but their chest out. All right. Stone Cold used to wear didn't he used to wear a leather vest with his chest out? That was weird. That's a Florida move. Other than that, you can see where I'm performing live stand-up comedy. I was actually supposed to do a show this weekend that ended up getting canceled. However, next weekend, I will be at Coconuts Comedy Club. That's on St. Pete Beach. For all you people that are experienced in 35-degree weather, I'm sorry. I do feel your pain because it got down to like 40 at night in Florida and I was freezing. The heat kicked on. The first time your heat kicks on in Florida is always a scary experience. Yeah, no, it smelled like hot dog water. I mean, it's like, dude, this thing is broken. What happened to this heat? But we are here. Thanks for listening to the podcast. I have some stuff I got to discuss. Before I got on the podcast, I saw Rudy Giuliani tested positive for COVID. In case you wondered if they had contained the breakout in the White House. Oh, no, man. Rudy got that COVID, dog. I told you, man, doing that press conference in front of that porn store, that was a real tipping point. That was the point that, like, Trump was just running up the score at that point. Like he had no inhibition, right? He got snapped back to reality. I will say, though, Trump had already had the COVID before Rudy got the COVID. And Rudy, like, he already looks like he has something worse than COVID. So you would assume that he was immune. That's kind of like a prostitute, right? When you go out there, it's like, yeah, whatever they got, definitely worse than what I got. Yeah, here's my $5. Let's see how this evening ends. Ladies of the night. So Rudy got that COVID, dog. So just beware. In case you think about going to the rally, Rudy got to be on the shelf for at least 21 days if he was in the Big Ten. Of course, they could change the rules like Big Ten people do. I wanted to start the show here. Speaking of Rudy. Speaking of Rudy, I think I want to start the show here. There was the Trump thing. I guess he not accepting results of the election, which is ridiculous, by the way, because like I said on a previous podcast, you don't have to accept the result. You just got to get out, you know. I may not accept the fact that I can't pay my mortgage, but when they come and evict me, I just got to peace out. You know what I mean? I can say whatever I want to say as long as my stuff gets out by 11:30, right? I disagree with their decision. Yeah, that's fine. Just make sure you pack that air mattress, all right? Or else it's going into donation pile. Like one or the other, right? So that's the point we are with the Trump situation. However, I saw a story where, you know, he's fighting this whole idea of election fraud and all these, you know, court cases. They cost money. And I did find it funny that Trump had the recount. I think it was Wisconsin, Michigan, one of those. But they came out and said it was $3 million to recount. By the way, he only recounted black people's votes. You see that? He just won the recount in Detroit. Like the vote was going to change. They did a recount and Biden got even more votes. You see? Some black people that didn't vote slipped a couple more in there. Get away. the thing about it is, to deep dive into politics, which I really don't talk about politics, yeah? You know me? I don't do politics on this show. To deep dive into the whole thing, really think about it, Trump didn't lose because black people voted. Trump lost because white women voted. That's actually why Trump lost. Like, realistically, yeah, more people voted on average. More people voted for Trump. More people voted for Biden. Like, more collectively American people voted. But when you actually look at the people that swung the votes, it wasn't Detroit, dog. Nah, man, it's just white people. White women out in Lansing, Michigan, you know? It's people spread all around, suburban moms. They had a little enough of this scumbag, you know? Those are the people that actually changed the election. However, I digress. He challenged that election in Michigan. I think it was $3 million. Wisconsin, I think it was Wisconsin. Maybe Michigan. It doesn't really matter what it is. But it cost $3 million to do the recount. And when they said Trump paid $3 million, my spidey senses went up. Because this guy doesn't pay for anything, right? This guy operates like somebody in Florida that just knows the owner of the nightclub. Everybody in his party is drinking. Y'all gonna sell it up the bill at the end, or if you're like me, you leave before the end comes. That's the way it works, right? If you go to the nightclub and some dude's like, oh, no, I know the owner, man. We good. You know? Before the night is over. Hold on, let me fix this microphone. Yeah, all right, we should be good. Before the night is over, right? You gotta leave. Oh man, don't stay until they start sweeping up, because that's when they start dividing up the bill. If he say he got it, he can get it now, or he can get it at 3:30. And so it don't matter if I leave at 10:45. Oh no, 10:45 train pulling out. Hey Courtney, man, where you going? Hey man, I gotta get out of here. You know what I mean? I got a long day at work. I got a long day at work. You know what I mean? I told my wife I was gonna be home early. You know what I mean? So yeah, I gotta go walk the dog. So. I'm going to catch you guys, you know, on the flip side, and you get up out of there, man. Figure out how they're going to settle up the bill. Apparently, it was one donor that didn't get the message, though. It was a donor, I don't know what his name is, but he donated $2.5 million to Trump's challenging of the election. And I assume that $2.5 million must be added into that $3 million he had to pay for that recount. I do wonder where the other $500,000 came from. That he probably stole from somebody else. Maybe some Trump steaks or something like that. But the guy paid $2.5 million, and I saw a story that now he wants his money back. Because he said he was deceived into thinking it was some kind of fair process. Let me tell you something. You ain't getting your money back. Okay? That's how loan sharks work. Honestly, you think you're going to just give a bookie your money? Oh, well, you know, it was a push at the end of the game. That was intentional grounding, right? Hey, let's call it even. For old time's sake, let me get my money back. Nah, dog, you don't fly straight. Ain't that what Scarface says? And that's when you back up and somebody just takes him out right there in the middle of the ballroom. You're not getting your money back. And you shouldn't get your money back. That $2.5 million went to a great cause. Now that the city of Michigan can build more polling locations for more black people that were disenfranchised. What would possess you to lend Donald Trump money? Honestly, out of everybody I could lend money, Donald Trump is the last person on my list. Because guess what? When I lend you money, my goal is to eventually get my money back. And I know he has no intent on paying me. Even if things went well, you ain't getting your money back, right? Even if he had won the election and the votes would have swung in his direction and he'd have been up there, you know, with his powdered face, his orange piss hair, and a tie and a jacket that didn't snap in the middle, with his wife that has no interest in being involved either, by the way. Like, if he wanted the money, I'm sure she'd sell some books. He could have bought the money from his wife. The wife was like, nah, dog, I don't trust you either. Even if things would have went well, you ain't getting your money back. Why would you lend that man any kind of money? Anytime you let a dude like that borrow some money, that is immediately a donation, okay? So you, $2.5 million dude, whose name I do not know, who if I were you, I wouldn't want people to know my name. You, my friend, is a grade A sucker that is never getting your money back. And you don't deserve your money back. Let this be a lesson to you, okay? let this be a lesson to you. Next time somebody comes up to you, say, you know what I want to do? I want to challenge the Constitution, man. Who's with me? Huh? You got 2.5 million? That's when you back away. All right? You don't stay in the nightclub till they start sweeping up, okay? 3 o'clock nightclub close. You ain't got to be there till they close. 10:45, you peel up out of there with a good excuse. Hey, man, I got, you know, I told my wife I'd be home. I got to walk the dog. You know, it's, I can keep my 2.5 million. I got to holler at you dudes later. All right? Peace. It's the Last Show Podcast. Thank you for tuning into the Last Show. It's called The Last Show because this may be it.
I got loyalty inside my DNA. Cocaine quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA. I got power.
Welcome back to the Last Show Podcast. I just win again and win again like Wimbledon. I serve DNA, Kendrick Lamar. Significance of this song. Hey yo, they did like the 2020 like wrap up thing on the Spotify. And what song you listen to. I don't know if they did it in the order of the songs and how much you listen to said songs, but this was number one on the playlist. So I assume I played this song more than any other song in my Spotify library, which lets you know I'm cold-blooded out here. I'm cold-blooded DNA Kendrick Lamar. Any other Kendrick Lamar news? Yeah, I got nothing else. Got nothing else on Kendrick Lamar. I did see What's Your Man? Not Childish Gambino, your man, Chance the Rapper. Oh, Chance the Rapper getting sued by his ex-manager. And I'm not here to celebrate a lawsuit, but I do want to celebrate some things that are in the lawsuit. Shall I? One thing he said, and one part of the lawsuit, I read it on Vulture.com, where they talked about basically the guy sued, and one of the things that he cited of why he didn't make all the money he was supposed to make is because he didn't have the same resume. It did say something he didn't have the same regimen about working on the last album. What was the name of the album? Whatever the album he came out with in like 2019 or whatever it is. Not Coloring Book. Yeah, Coloring Book and Day something, and then he had another album, but they say he didn't work that hard on it, so it messed up the sales. Said when he came in the studio, man, he was more of a wordsmith, which I don't know what he was listening to with Chance the Rapper. Wordsmith, not one of the words that come to mind. Look, I was on the Chance the Rapper thing a long time ago, so I'm not gonna take a victory lap when Chance the Rapper is down. And the truth of the matter is, he ain't down. Cause let me tell you something. If Chance the Rapper is down, I want to get down like that. That's sold out stadiums. That's the kind of down I want to be. People say, hey, that Mariah Carey's really down on her luck. I saw on the Christmas show the other day, man. Let me get that kind of down. I don't mind, you know, doing a comedy show with Michael Bublé. That sounds like the way to get paid in these streets. But Chance the Rapper did say in an article like the album didn't have the kind of reception the other ones it had. And, you know, that was one of the reasons he didn't get his money. And his father now is managing him and he promised to give him some money and all these other things. But one of the things that I really circled was the guy was basically saying, yo, I had his career rolling until this last album came out and it didn't get the audience reception it got. And I think it was because he didn't put enough work in. And to that guy would say, that's not the reason. The reason why the album didn't get that much reception is because kids become adults. There's this point in time when you realize Chance the Rapper is not for you, man. That's kids' music right there. Like, I'm not saying he's an utter no talent or he doesn't have any talent. I'm just saying it ain't that good. You know, I'm just there with it. When it comes to rap, it ain't that good. That's the thing about somebody like Drake. Somebody like Drake or whatever dudes, right? These days, dudes ain't out here trying to, like they Kendrick Lamar, they Jay-Z. No, dude, they getting in where they fit in. You understand? Walk a flock of flame. I go hard in the paint. Ain't nobody out here talking about, oh, I'm this wordsmith. No, man. But Chance the Rapper out here trying to profess to you like he gonna sell out stadiums because his bars is that heavy. Nah, the bars ain't that heavy, Chance. It's just not that good. All right, I digress. As somebody working on the album, I feel like I should be, you know, a little bit nicer, but I'm not. All right, so this is the main thing I want to talk about. For any guys that know, I like sports. I'll talk about the Browns later on because, you know what I mean? We hung 41. Dude, it's going to be the end of the Dan Le Batard show, which is crazy. The Dan Le Batard radio show is probably the only sports show I still watch. You know, a little inside baseball. So, Le Batard show, I was originally attracted to it because Dan Le Batard was used to go on PTI and Around the Horn on ESPN, and I hated him. I hated him. That was the point of my sports fandom where I was actually like a real fan. Like, you ever meet people like, I'm a real sports fan. And they always had their shirt off, some kind of Ultimate Warrior face paint, you know, that when their team loses, the tears stream down and run the paint into their mouth like a sad clown. Like, that was the sports fan I was when I found Le Batard. I never forget, it was somewhere around the time of like Cleveland having their last year with LeBron and him going to Miami. So I started listening to the show in Miami as LeBron went to Miami. So I used to hate listening to the show, but the show was so dope, it completely changed who I am as a sports fan. Completely changed, you know? Completely changed. And now I just watch sports strictly for the entertainment. So once they went to ESPN, it became a bigger show. More people started listening to it. And then it became this weird, not divisive show, but it was like, what's the word for it? With, not dichotomy. It was a lot of people hated it. A lot of people liked it. But it's not a lot in the middle. There's nobody listening to Le Batard, a sports fan, now. There's nobody listening to it be like, I don't know how I feel. No. It's not like that, right? You love or you hate it. That's the way it works. But at that point, they were really diversifying ESPN a lot, a whole lot. So once they had Le Batard's show on, and I think in that lineup, the only radio show that was a quote, you know, traditional white show was Mike and Mike. But at that point, I think Bomani Jones was on the radio, Le Batard was on the radio, and it was I think it was somebody else doing like the evenings or something like that. And it was just the wildest thing. Because before that, it was like Kornheiser and Max Kellerman and I think Stephen A was on there too. I think Stephen A might have been another person. Yeah, I think it was Stephen A. I think it was Stephen A and Bomani. And it was your man, Colin Cowherd. Like, it was the widest lineup in the history of sports. And all of a sudden, boom, it just changed over. Then ESPN. They had the Le Batard show with his dad, right? Highly Questionable's on. Then Bomani and Le Batard, Highly Questionable. Like, love the show. Then they had High Noon shows. Pablo Bonanza, the Asian dude, Filipino dude, right? And a black dude. Then they had the six with Michael and Jemele Hill. And like ESPN, that's the most ESPN I ever watched was in that time period. And this is like, I guess, circa, what, 4 or 5 years ago? Like, I was DVRing these shows and watching these shows. I liked the shows. High Noon was like my favorite show, man. And then they just started stripping all those people away. Like, we all know what happened with Jemele Hill, who was right, by the way. Jemele Hill should take the ultimate victory lap. She was the first one that said Donald Trump is a white supremacist surrounded by white supremacists. This is in the first year. Oh, she sniffed that dude out a minute. From Detroit, by the way. Women from Detroit will cut you, by the way. Okay? They'll cut you. All right? So, to me, don't think it's all sweet. I disagree with Jemele Hill. That's fine, but you better walk up on her while she's looking. Don't be walking up on her when she don't see you. You're going to get cut. That's the way it works, right? But I used to like those shows. I liked High Noon. I liked The Six. I liked Highly Questionable. And I stopped even watching PTI. Like, now, I don't watch PTI really at all. Then they just started stripping all those shows away. Colin Kaepernick happened, all this. Remember, like, when all people like, oh, Black Lives Matter, we care about diversity, right? And then you actually see what's happening, and they slowly rip the lineup apart, right? So now Bomani Jones is on a podcast. And you know, Highly Questionable's, I mean, it's remote anyways, but Dan's dad's not on the show. High Noon is gone. Of course, The Six is gone. And they just revamped the whole lineup for ESPN Radio. And now they're going to have Mike and Mike's going to take over the Le Batard spot when he leaves. It's just, it's wild, man. And Le Batard leaving the radio show on ESPN, to me, really not as big of a deal as I guess some people make it online. Personally, I don't care. Because I fully think they're going to continue doing the show. So whatever they do the show, that's where I'm going to go. The only person it actually hurts, I guess, is ESPN in a way. And that's actually what I want to talk about, right? So people now, like, I'm on Twitter and people are like, you know, I'm canceling my ESPN Plus subscription. Let me tell you something. They don't care. They don't actually care. I think I said it on Twitter, man. Somebody was like, you know, I can't believe they did. I can't believe they cut off Levitard. They don't know what they've done to their audience. No, they do know. And they don't actually care. Like, have you ever thought to think, right? Because the way they were cutting the Levitard show and making it smaller and shrinking and shrinking and shrinking the show to the point that it was only 2 hours. It was a 4-hour show that ended up getting shrunk to 2 hours. And then the podcast ended up taking up like another basically 3 hours, right? You don't think they were doing that on purpose? Like at that point, not only did they not care if you left, they didn't care if he left. They don't want you there. It'd be one thing if all of Levitard was gone, but they still had High Noon and The Six and Bomani. No. They don't want any of you guys around. They don't actually care, right? Like, this thing is about money. And Levitard might honestly have been messing up his money. And the truth of the matter is, I don't know him personally, but it seems like Levitard doesn't let money dictate his decisions. So the idea that you may shrink the show or tell him to do a certain thing, he may do whatever he wants to do, right? So ESPN as a model is predicated on the idea of not having people like him. The whole point of ESPN and the whole reason they work is to not have somebody like him on the show. Because once you have somebody like him or Dan Patrick or Jemele Hill or, I mean, Rich Eisen, I guess, or Keith Olbermann, the reason you have to keep those people out of the tent is because they're bigger than the show they're on. You can't have Colin Cowherd stay at your network for that. You can't have Skip Bailey. You can't have that. The Stephen A. Smith thing will actually be interesting as it evolves because Stephen A. Smith is pulling a lot more and a lot more and a lot more. Stephen A. Smith is the face of the network at this point. And Stephen A. Smith is on the red carpet, man. This dude is negotiating the Academy Awards into his contract, man. Long term, they can't have Stephen A. Smith. The reason the machine works is because the parts are interchangeable. It's like the NFL, man. That's the reason the machine works. It works because the four letters are always going to be bigger than any personality there. So I don't know if you guys listen to podcasts that do listen to the Levitard Show, but it's going to be cool. He's going to reappear on Spotify or XM Radio. Come on, dude. The size of their audience. How many other radio shows, and the answer is zero, sports shows, is out here selling out theaters, throwing parties, and doing... Come on, man. Like, the dude is going to do something. I do wonder, though, how the contracts work. Dan does seem like the type of dude that may take care of the other people on the show. But Dan has lawyers, and I don't think, like, you know, Billy Gill or Mike Ryan, I don't think they have lawyers. There are contracts. At the same time, they're laying everybody off, so I guess you could just be really bad at your job and get fired, you know? Which I think that was actually a tipping point, too, when they fired Chris Cody, Greg Cody's son, like, and didn't tell him. And just didn't tell him, just fired somebody on the show and just didn't tell him. They found out like me and you on the internet, right? That has to create some kind of rift. Once again, ESPN didn't care if he left, man. Didn't care. Because the truth of the matter is, even when Dan does go somewhere else, Dan, I assume, let's say best case scenario is Dan Stugatz, the whole show just goes to XM or Spotify or whatever. It does not hurt ESPN, not even a little bit. Not even a little bit. Every big personality that's ever worked for ESPN has left, outside of like Chris Berman, you know, and Stuart Scott, you know, Scott Van Pelt, I guess, but he ain't the personality of like Levitard or anything like that. I love the Scott Van Pelt show. It's a good show, but he ain't gluing me to the screen. Like, I ain't DVRing that, right? These shows that were big personality, like Dan Patrick, Keith Olbermann. Oh, Keith Olbermann's excellent. Keith Olbermann's like one of the best people at TV that's ever worked for ESPN. Just great at TV, period. Jim Rome. Like, these dudes ain't staying, okay? It's a natural transition. All you Levitard fans, grow up. You know, stop being salty at ESPN. They're doing what the machine does. Choose people out and spit them up. What you need to do is get your money up and be like Dan Levitard, right? So when the train starts moving and they're ready to roll you over, you know, you can land on a sack of Spotify money. Get your Joe Rogan on. Joe Rogan. He had a weird conspiracy theory show the other day. That's like every Joe Rogan show, though. Anyways. All right. Let me talk, sports. Sports heavy. I'm going to talk Ohio State and the Browns. Let's see if I can pull these both out without... Pull these both off without you guys leaving. Or you could leave. Especially if you're a fan of Michigan, by the way. Now, didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you what was going to happen? Let me tell you. Ohio State's played four games. Well, now they played five games. They're going to be in the college football playoff. You want to know why? Because Ohio State is the one who knocks. I try to tell you people to listen to the podcast. There's a lot of people out there. Well, Clemson's a big-time pro. Clemson can compete with Ohio and Alabama. No. Ohio State is the one that knocks. In the history of my life, I am 36 years old. You understand? In the history of my life, Ohio State has never been bad. Never. Alabama's been bad. Texas is doggone sure. Clemson just came about 5 years ago. You understand? Oklahoma, they didn't have ups and downs. I will say Oklahoma, they can look at us eye to eye. I will look at Oklahoma eye to eye. You can sit at the table, but it's a table for two, ladies and gentlemen. Notre Dame, all these other schools, ups and downs. Notre Dame was good when black people couldn't play. Okay? That's when Notre Dame was good. Let me spoiler alert. All those national championships they won was just people deciding who was the national champion. Okay? Ohio State has been good my entire life. Ohio State, the Ohio State, put a handle on that. We are the one that knocks. Okay? So Ohio State didn't play four games, and these other schools play eight, nine games. Well, has Ohio State played enough games to be in a championship? It doesn't matter. It don't matter. We're the one that knocks. And let me address you, Michigan. Desmond Howard, I saw Desmond Howard on College Game Day. He was the saddest person. You see how sad Desmond Howard was? If you didn't watch College Game Day over the weekend, shame on you. Desmond Howard, I DVR'd it. I knew Desmond Howard was going to be sad. And they hadn't even made the announcement yet. They were putting Ohio State in no matter what. That's basically what the announcement was. The athletic director at Wisconsin came out and said, we got to find out a way to get Ohio State in there. He don't even go to school. We are the one that knocks. Other schools talking about, yo, we got to get Ohio State in there. Let me tell you, the answer to all of your questions is money. Money. Ohio State is the biggest program in the nation. If you got the biggest program in the nation, and they have a chance to go to college football play, you're not going to change the rules so they can get in the college football playoffs? What are you, out of your mind? Desmond Howard? What were you thinking? It is funny because when Kirk Herbstreit, by the way, that had to be real stressful. Like Kirk Herbstreit and Desmond Howard, they had to have a conversation before the show started. Because Kirk Herbstreit was quarterback at Ohio State, for you guys that don't know. Oh, yeah, man. What's it called? Not silver tips. What's it called? Frosted tips. Oh, Frosted Tips used to sling the Duke. All right? And Desmond Howard won the Heisman Trophy at Michigan. They had to have a conversation before it started because Kirk Herbstreit said on Tuesday night, I think, Michigan might just wave the white flag and not play Ohio State. Yeah, this is a wave the white flag. And they might say, COVID. Lo and behold, Michigan hasn't played. Now, do I think that Michigan would be like, hey, we don't want to play and we can play, but we don't want to lose again? The answer is yes, I do. And I'm not one of them people like Rich Eisen. I saw Rich Eisen on this show was like, oh, Kirk, yeah, well, he had an apology. He had to clean that up because, you can't say a team done. Well, actually, we can. Actually, we can because we've been stomping y'all out for years. Actually, we can. Because if we couldn't or say that, why was Desmond Howard so emotional on College Game Day, dude? Desmond Howard said something to the notion of, well, they just going to change the rules for Ohio State, and personally, I'm not good with that. You want to know why you're not good with that? Because you guys thought, and this is me talking, not Herbstreit, but I'll speak for everybody. Y'all thought you were going to have the ability to not play Ohio State, then they wouldn't have enough wins and they wouldn't get in, and you could be like, well, COVID, so I'm sorry. But what actually is happening is that not only do they not have to play you and waste their time stomping a mud hole in you, they can get healthy, then play in the championship game, and then go ahead and play in the playoffs. So you not playing is actually going to make it easier for them. That's actually what happened. And now that they've changed the rules or are going to change the rules to where Ohio State can get in, now you're salty. Hey, man, insult hurts. I've never experienced it because my team has been great my entire life. But I imagine you, if you're a Michigan fan, got a sting, don't it? That adjusting system burns, don't it? And you know what the best part about the whole thing is? Or one of the best parts about the whole thing is? They've changed the rules for Notre Dame and Clemson, too. The ACC just said, hey, we ain't playing no more games. We're going straight to the championship game. You want to know why? Because you don't want to risk your money over some weird flip of the coin, dog. No. The four teams they want to get in is Notre Dame, Clemson, Alabama, and Ohio State. That's it. That's the list. To quote the great prophet Tony Kornheiser, it's a television show. Alabama, Ohio State, Notre Dame, and Clemson, that is the best television show. Not Michigan not showing up for games. Barry Alvarez at Wisconsin understands that. ESPN understands that. And as the words come out of my mouth, you best believe Ohio State is the one that knocks. They will be in there. They might even be in there even if they lose a game. They'll be in there. Just the way it goes. Now, you guys have waited long enough. You guys, listen, while I talk like I know everything, like I'm an authority now. Baker Mayfield was fantastic today. I don't know who was wearing a Baker Mayfield costume today, but something happened. He messed around and became a quarterback. I want to know what he ate for breakfast. I mean, I'm not taking the L. I'm still suspicious. Something happened in that locker room, dog. Did Baker have COVID? Is he in concussion protocol? That dude was in somebody else's body. Who was wearing his jersey? Oh, he was dangerous today. Hey, man, when the game started out, I was like, oh, man, something's happening with Baker Mayfield. That dude made five throws that were great. Great. And it made like three throws that were incredible. The one touchdown throw where he dropped it over, I'm like, when did he learn how to do that? It was like playing Madden, dude. I'm like, how did he drop that in there? What is this, Texas A&M versus Oklahoma? How did he drop that? Baker Mayfield looked like he was in college. He looked like, hey, get this, come in close. Baker Mayfield looked like a number one pick. It was the craziest thing I've seen all year. By the way, Baker Mayfield, you know, now here I go. Baker Mayfield, of that clump of people that were drafted, was like, so what, they drafted him over Deshaun Watson and I think, well, over Patrick Mahomes. That's inexcusable. I will say a lot of people didn't draft Patrick Mahomes, and that's how I soothed myself, you know? But of the Sam Darnolds and all that, I think it was Sam Darnold in the same draft. I think it's all in the, no. The Mitch Trubisky draft was the year before Baker, and I think they drafted whoever they drafted. It was Myles Garrett. I don't know who they drafted, but anyways, of that clump of quarterbacks that's been around that time, Baker and Kyler Murray and all these dudes, yo, Baker looked like, you know, he was a franchise quarterback. Like, better than Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz is just terrible. But better than Carson Wentz, definitely better than Sam Darnold. You know, like, Baker Mayfield looked fantastic today. Odd thing, man. I'd never considered the idea of how the Browns would look if Baker Mayfield was good. It might have crossed, like, my you know, way in the recesses of my mind. I may have thought about it for a minute, you know, and then I woke up screaming, because that's never gonna happen. But when Baker Mayfield is good, they could actually win a playoff game. Hell, they played a playoff teams today and stumped a mud hole in them. You know what I mean? That was Ohio State versus Michigan. That's what you just watched. That's the reason Desmond Howard was sad on College Game Day. That game against the Browns right now, man. Like, Baker Mayfield was so good, the running game didn't matter. I never considered the idea of the running game not mattering. When Chubb was under 100 yards today, man, Baker Mayfield was fantastic, man. Fantastic. So I got to eat crow this week. I will say, though, as a Browns fan, I do get to watch all. Oh, I'm going to watch First Take tomorrow. Oh, man, you best believe I'm watching First Take. Listen to Levitard, Mike Ryan, you better hold it down. I mean, I want you to be extra annoying this week, dude, because we've been eating it for at least 36 years. That's as long as I've been. As long as I've been alive, the Browns have been terrible and Ohio State has been good. Oh, man, it's weird. I have a weird Stockholm syndrome I got, man. Loving that team, man. But oh, I'm gonna listen to all of them. First Take. I'm gonna slide over to FS1. You know it's bad when your team wins and you just want blood and you start going to FS1. Hey, let me see what Nick Wright is talking about. What's the show that comes on? What comes on after the Undisputed show? I have no clue. Is it just reruns of Undisputed? The Jason Whitlock show that he got fired from. That show. Yeah, I'm gonna see what does Marcellus Wiley have to say about my team. That's right, man. I am scouring sports for anybody talking about the Browns. Anybody? Raise your hand. Who didn't believe in Baker Mayfield? I did. Franchise quarterback. All right, let's wrap up the show. Thank you, you, for tuning into the Last Show Pod. My name is Courtney. I said at the beginning of the show, but I got caught up in the air right there. Go to my website, CourtneyShaneWilliams.com, KRTNEYShaneWilliams.com. Get a backlog of the show. I don't really have too much anything coming up aside from next week. You guys, I don't know when I'm going to put out shows. At least once a week I'm going to put them out consistently. And after that, you know, we'll see. Maybe I'll drop in, you know, a couple new ones in there. I am thinking about doing a web stream of the show. I am thinking about that, you know, so you can see what I look like. You can drink it in, you know. via Wi-Fi. You can drink the whole thing in, man. I'm thinking about that. But other than that, no real news. Signed a record contract, but, you know, listen to the last podcast. I talked about that. We move forward. We don't go backwards, all right? Thank you. And enjoy the rest of your week. Take it easy. Or your week. Peace.
You clearly don't know who you're talking to, so let me clue you in. I am the danger. A guy opens his door and gets shot, and you think that of me? No. I am the one who knocks.
Aha! Aha! What do you know from funny, you bastard?
Until next time, take care of yourselves and each other.
Congratulations, you played yourself.
Toodaloo.